Tell your security man he owes me his life.
What do you mean?
If I'd wanted to hurt you, I'd have put a team with a rocket launcher on top of the Peace Hotel. You'd all be roasting in your office like chickens on a spit.
The security man's face disappeared from the window.
Come up now, and we'll chat.
No, I've changed my mind. If you want to meet, you come see me.
Where?
At the Dragon Phoenix restaurant in the Peace Hotel. I'll have a table waiting for us. I'll even buy.
Feeling satisfied, Garin turned towards the hotel. He had already set the reservation days before, just after his spy inside Guy's organization first gave him the boss's private telephone number. The Dragon Phoenix restaurant was one of the main tourist attractions at the Peace Hotel, and as such, the decor was appropriately opulent. Circular red tables stood out like large islands against the dark floor. The color scheme was primarily cream and red, and the distinctive dragon and phoenix crest was displayed proudly. The late afternoon crowd was sparse, mostly tourists and a handful of businessmen having a late lunch or an early dinner. Guy Kuan Yin arrived with his entourage only a few minutes after Garin's phone call. The hostess stopped them at the door, chatted briefly, then brought them to Garin's table. Guy nodded toward the hostess, then turned to Garin. He stayed standing.
I don't like the way you do business.
You don't have to like it. You just have to respect it. Now, take a seat. You're going to look foolish eating soup while standing.
I didn't come here to eat.
No, but if you eat, you won't draw as much attention. I'm buying. Consider it an apology for my failure to properly introduce myself.
It wasn't much, but it was a gesture to allow Guy to save face. Usually, introductions between two people of power were mitigated through a third party. Garin had purposely skipped that. Showing obvious reluctance, Guy sat. The servers descended upon them, bringing soups and appetizers. They filled the two men's glasses with water and with tea. Guy's eyes never left Garin's.
What do you want, Mr. Raiden?
By now, you'll have called someone to find out who I am. They'll have told you I'm an entrepreneur, and that I also dabble in archaeological collections.
Yes?
I know about the belt plaque, and I know about the City of Thieves.
Now, Mr. Braden, you know that those are mere fables.
Do you think so? You had Suen Shikai killed for the artifact that he held.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Anyway, I'm sure by now you're aware that a woman killed the two men that tortured and murdered Suen Shikai. Whoever it may have been that hired them. Do you know who she was?
No.
She was his daughter.
I see.
Perhaps that would suggest why the artifact was not at Suen's home when you sent for it.
Suen left it for her.
It's all about legacies in this country. Everyone is someone else's descendant or ancestor.
Does she have the artifact Suen protected?
I believe so. There's a man named Tsai Chu Yu. Do you know him?
Of course. He is a very dangerous man to cross.
You knew he was a close friend of Suen.
Indeed. I never understood what they saw in each other.
Both of them are fishermen. They both loved and lost their wives. Sometimes it doesn't take much for two people to bond, does it?
Garin stared into Guy's eyes and saw that the man had never bonded with anyone. He'd never had to. Garin still remembered that cold winter morning his father had told him he would be riding away with Rue, that the old man was going to be his new master. For years they'd ridden together, and every year Rue swore that he would find some home to send him to, some orphanage that would keep him. After all, a master was not a father. Every year he would make that promise, but every year they kept riding together. Then, Rue had failed Joan of Arc. Garin locked the memories away. He understood bonds between people in a way Guy never could. Regardless of his upbringing, He also knew how to take advantage of them.
The point is, Guy, that I believe Kelly Swan has the artifact her father was sworn to protect.
Where is she now?
Somewhere plotting to kill you, I suppose.
An uncomfortable look washed over Guy's face, and Garin smiled in response. Guy's security director, G, leaned in from behind.
That will never happen, Mr. Guy.
Do you even know who Kelly Swan is, Guy?
No.
She is a trained assassin. After she moved to the United States, she was trained by the CIA to be used in the Asian theater. She's an expert with handguns and a sniper rifle, familiar with demolitions. Very, very patient. I would presume that this is especially so when she is pursuing the man who murdered her father.
Guy looked back again at his chief of security. The man never took his eyes from Garin, but his face flushed.
You can't blame your security chief. He wasn't in a position to know something like that.
It is his job.
In any case, at this point, I don't think replacing him is in your best interests.
What would be in my best interest, Mr. Brayden?
To make me your partner for a percentage of the treasure.
That's unacceptable. This treasure is something that my ancestor...
betrayed and killed his friends for. I already know the story. I probably know it better than you. I also know that even if you succeed in finding the City of Thieves, which I doubt you will, you won't make it past the dangers that lie ahead of you. Your ancestor and the other thieves made the way very difficult. Only one path will be clear. I know how to get you there. Well then, tick-tock. While you're sitting here wasting time, another group, a group that has as much information as I do, is closing in to take that treasure away from you. What's it going to be? Are you going to waste this excellent meal trying to find a way out of this? Or do we have a deal?
Her hair wrapped in a towel and fresh from the shower, Anya raided the refrigerator. After she had arrived home, she had found that Rue had stocked her with enough food to last for days. The old man awakened as she began preparing breakfast. He looked tired and haggard in the pajamas he'd gotten from the suitcase he'd had his driver deliver. Anya held up a jumbo brown egg.
Scrambled or over easy?
Benedict, we have muffins.
We also have waffles.
Too sweet.
You don't have to put syrup on them.
You're up early.
We've got a lot to do.
Is the coffee ready?
Here you go.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anya felt relaxed making breakfast. She'd thought she'd have been self-conscious, especially after Rue had dismissed the driver and stated his intentions about staying, just in case her enemies decided to strike again. Instead, he hadn't gotten anything but a good night's sleep. Rue's demeanor slowly improved as he consumed the eggs Benedict and copious amounts of coffee. He even favored Anya with something resembling a smile as he pushed back his chair.
I'll do the dishes.
I can do them.
No, you did the dishes last night. It's the least I can do.
Anya watched as Rue went to the kitchen sink. It surprised her that Rue had demonstrated a softer side, especially after nearly 500 years of male chauvinism.
Where did you learn to be so domestic, Rue?
Back when I was on the road a lot, and Garin was just a boy. There was no one else to take care of us. I had to look out for myself.
Were you poor in those days?
Of course not. We had money.
Then why not hire servants?
Because someone traveling with servants was a clear target for brigands. It was better to pose as an old man and a boy with little material possessions. Even still, I can't remember the number of times we had to fight merely to keep our cookpots and horses.
You could have stayed at inns.
I've always had enemies. If Garin and I stayed at an inn, we'd have been found even more easily.
Anya sorted through her email, finding numerous fan letters from viewers of Chasing History's Monsters. She checked to see if anyone had posted anything new about the belt plaque. She spotted one posting from a Dr. Michael Hu. Anya recognized the name from Michelle Kim's research while she'd been in California. As she read the text, Rue approached and read over her shoulder.
I'm a professor of archaeological studies at Peking University in Beijing, China. I'd like to confer with you, if I may. You recently posted an image of a piece I'd be very interested in seeing. If you would, please, reply to this email, and I'd be happy to call you at my expense. Sincerely, Michael Hu.
Interesting.
Anya checked the time and date on the message. It had been posted while she'd been asleep. She clicked on the attachment, and the image of the Scythian belt black filled the screen. The snarling tiger's savage face stared back at Anya in frozen silence.
If only it could talk.